What happens when millions of people focus their attention on occult symbols? You charge up energy used by magicians to continue their pursuit of becoming modern-day gods and goddesses. And that's exactly what we witnessed at last night's 2024 BET Music Awards. We're going to talk about Will Smith's blatant alchemy symbolism, Lauryn Hill's Christ consciousness, and Rastafari anti-Christian symbols, Sexy Red as the Whore of Babylon, Glorilla, and the Memphis Rap Sigils, as well as Lil Uzi Vert. Join me today. My name is Isaac Weishaupt, and you're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, there's lots of allegedly going on in this episode, all right? So I'm going to come out and preface this entire episode, because I don't want to say allegedly a million times. We're just going to say this one's for fun. This one's just satire. All these allegations about celebrities is just completely fun, unsubstantiated rumors found on the internet and in forums. I have no idea if any of this is real. Probably not. Let's just say this is for fun, all right? Okay. Who's ready to have fun? Today, we're gonna go through it. I don't have much time today. I gotta squeeze this in, so we're just gonna keep it moving, all right? There was a couple performances I won't cover today. There was one where Chief Keef and the Ying Yang Twins, and it said Bobby Shmurda. I didn't see him on the stage. They did some kind of, I don't know, trap song. And, you know, I like most of those guys. I couldn't hear a word of it. They bleeped out every other word. I mean, it was nonsense. I thought, who's watching this? This is terrible TV. Now, of course, yeah, no. If I had an uncensored version, it would be fine. So, and you know, we're not going to waste our time on talking about the primer of hip-hop music and gangsta rap and all that stuff. I've talked about that countless times over the years. If you want to go deep into that and like the privatized prison system and this satanic push from rappers that we've seen over the years, read my book from 10 years ago called Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, available on Amazon, Audible, and I've still got some signed copies available from my Las Vegas lecture event. Okay, now let's get into the performance of Sexy Red. Maybe you know who she is, maybe you don't. She was, of course, dressed in all red. And of course, this made me think of the Scarlet Woman, right? The Whore of Babylon. And, you know, well, and then she did that first song. I don't remember what it was. And then the next one was Get It Sexy, another popular song she has. And it shifted to Washington, D.C. as the scenery. And the seal, the presidential seal, had her with devil horns, all right? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Isaac, you're always pushing this satanic panic stuff. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not panicking, all right? But I will tell you when something's satanic. I'm not going to sit here and be, oh, well, you know, they do satanic stuff, and it's just a way to be a shtick. And, like, no, I actually think it's more than that. I think there's spiritual battles going on, and, you know, both sides are ramping up in a way, right? And I'm not sure what the right answer is. I think what a lot of Christians do, I don't love that either. So I don't know what the right answer is besides just talking about it and letting people think about it and reflect and say, wow, what do I want to do with my life and what do I want to let influence me? All right. So, and her, look, her music is almost entirely sexual in nature, almost entirely. So to say she's embodying the energy of the Whore of Babylon or the Scarlet Woman isn't terribly far off, all right? Now, I'm planning on doing a whole show deep diving into the concept of the Whore of Babylon. Might be July, might be August. I don't know. It just depends. But I've got all my notes ready. I just got to do it. But we talked about this. Interestingly enough, the idea of the Scarlet Woman in a January 2022 episode about Julia Fox. Remember Kanye West was dating Julia Fox for a minute there? And my argument was that Julia Fox was Kanye's Marina Abramovich, you know, the witchy artist. She just did a performance as well. I'm looking into it. Now, on that show, I read this article about the Anunnaki, these alien gods of Mesopotamia that is linked into ancient ancient aliens and all the ancient astronaut theory. And it claimed that the Sumerians used to do rituals where the priestess or the goddess would wear scarlet robes to represent the Scarlet Woman. And the color red signified their source of power. And they went by a title of H-O-R, whore, right? And these whores were sent to kings to have various children, but they never got married, right? They were strictly there for reproduction. And it's supposedly that's where the term whore comes from. It comes from this term H-O-R, a priestess who mothered many kids, right? And the color scarlet is the robe that they wore, and it represents sexual licentiousness, right? And sin. That's where the scarlet letter comes from. And then in that article, when we talked about it, it got even weirder. It talked about the female skeet being dragged for immortality, which isn't too far off from a lot of the occult concepts of Aleister Crowley and Kenneth Grant, where they were really embracing some of the tantric sex magic ideas and consuming the kalas, the different fluids of the feminine. So, with all that being said, sexy red. Illuminate confirm, as always. Illuminate confirm. Then, and look, I don't know the order. And look, a little background here. I recorded all of these award shows for many years on, I'm old, right? I got this old cable TV with a DVR. Because back in the day, that was the only way you could watch these. Yeah, I mean, for the last several years. And thank goodness, but BET started posting performances on YouTube now the next day, which is a much more easy experience for me because I used to have to sit there and like kind of watch this whole thing and, you know, wait for something to happen. So I watched these, and I don't know if this is the order they came out or not. I have no idea. Doesn't really matter. The next one I watched was Glorilla, another one of the new female rappers. And her stage had flames all over it like it was hell, or maybe it's just a set, you know? Artists sometimes have to use imagery. Fire is one of those images. But you know where we stand on this podcast. It's hell. And she was she performed one song called Wannabe, and the dancers were wearing Memphis shirts. And I looked her up. Sure enough, she's actually from Memphis, which has its own satanic roots. Memphis, Tennessee, of course, is sort of a, I don't know if you call it a sister city to Memphis in Egypt, okay? Which was, again, all about gods and goddesses and pagan worship of multiple Egyptian deities. And there's a thing called the Memphis Rap Sigils that I just recently started diving into because, well, what happened, you see, on Twitter, William Ramsey posted a link to a YouTube video some guy made a few years ago talking about the Memphis Rap Sigils. Now, I hadn't heard about this because there's a lot of conspiracies that I am not very well versed in, and this is one of them. And on the video, the reason William Ramsey tagged me was because in the video they reference the West Memphis Three, because I interviewed William Ramsey back in 2015, and his book he wrote about the West Memphis Three, Damian Echols and those guys, was that the Paradise Lost documentaries HBO presented weren't entirely accurate, and that there was evidence that these guys murdered the kids or whatever. Is it two kids? I think it was two kids. Now, at the time, I go, as you'll hear when I do my, I'm going to do my personal show here soon, where I explain my worldview, religion, all that stuff. And before I read William Ramsey's book, I had seen all the Paradise Lost documentaries, and I'm an anti-authoritarian figure. I don't like authority on any levels for many reasons. And that includes, of course, law enforcement. Look, are they necessary? Yes. Is that a tough job? Yes. Should they get our respect? Absolutely. They got to deal with the worst people in society. But that doesn't mean they're infallible or that they don't do corrupt, awful things all the time and get caught all the time. All right? So this was one of the things that I said, well, of course, you know, damn cops in West Memphis arrest these guys just because they're wearing black Metallica shirts. Well, William Ramsey's book talks about how they were actually researching a lot of Aleister Crowley occultism. And like I say, that doesn't make you a murderer either. I read Aleister Crowley occult stuff. That doesn't mean I'm even practicing magic. Now, it turns out Damien Eccles, in fact, was very much into the occult and Aleister Crowley. But like I say, that doesn't make him a murderer. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the truth is as to whether or not those guys actually committed those murders. I wasn't there. I don't know. But at the time when I read the book, I was kind of like, oh my God, this is, they were satanic murders. And I don't know if that's entirely true. I'd have to reread and revisit all of it. But I know there was DNA evidence that got them off the hook. Some people say that was like had its own shady business. And it's one of those things where I just say, look, man, you got to chalk it up to God. If God's the ultimate judge. And if these guys did it, then they'll pay their price in the afterlife. But I'd rather, if it seems like they're innocent, like I'd hate to see someone sit in prison the rest of their life or even on death row, you know, for something they didn't do just because of stereotypes. So now, so anyway, the video, it mentioned me and William Ramsey. So I watched the video and they talk about the Memphis rap sigils. And what happened was in the 90s, Memphis was one of the murder capitals of the world. And there were various, horrorcore rap groups, not just 3-6 Mafia, a bunch of them in Memphis. I didn't know this. There's a whole aesthetic and I like it. I dig it because I like horror movies, right? I like rap, I like horror movies, and I like all the nasty business. So I was like, heck yeah, this is my jam right here. I'm actually preparing to do a whole show about it. I've already got a lot of notes on it. I got to dig deeper because the video, unfortunately, didn't go deep enough for me. But anyways, Memphis has this whole occult background, including the Bass Pyramid. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I should also note that if you listen to my Justin Timberlake video analysis we did a few weeks ago, where before he got arrested for his DWI, I said, this guy's taking a dark turn. He's embracing the shadow. That's the symbolism we see in the music video. And then sure enough, what happens, right? Well, at the end of that music video, he has a license plate. When the evil Justin Timberlake drives off his license plate, it says Memphis. Even though it was filmed in L.A., it's Memphis, all right? But Glorilla, she had a very dark origin story as well. She was, from what I'm reading online, she was in a Christian church choir, but decided she was going to become a rapper. And, you know, she's very modern-day hip-hop, very vulgar, violent, sexual and violent. And much like Diddy, in February 2023, she had a concert in Rochester, and there was a stampede, and 3 people died. All right? That's just like how Diddy's origin story was if you listen to my 3-hour Diddy deep dive this month. But she was alleged to have signed the Faustian bargain. She's got some tattoos of all seeing eyes and the vow of silence. She denies all of this. She claims she's Lil Uzi Vert's cousin. And we're going to talk about him here shortly. And she was performing and then Megan Thee Stallion came out to do a little, she's featured on one of Glorilla's songs. And when Megan starts twerking, here comes the YouTube square blocks want me to click on another video. I said, get the hell out of the way. What are we doing? And then, well, speaking of Megan Thee Stallion, let's just go to her performance. She come out, she hatches from the cosmic egg. Now, this is something we talked about already. I have it on my Substack. There's a video she had recently called Cobra. And in the video, it shows the cosmic egg and a whole bunch of stuff. All right. But to be honest, her performance, there wasn't a ton going on. All right. Now, and look, I'm going to point it out. I'm very biased here. Big fan of Megan Thee Stallion. That new song she's got with the Gwen Stefani sample, very good. And the new album's great. I don't love the weird Amazon sponsorship plugs throughout, but hey, whatever. Get the bread, you know what I'm saying? Moving on, Lil Uzi Vert. If you don't know what a Lil Uzi Vert is, it means Lucifer. Lil Uzi Vert means Lucifer. He is very much overtly satanic. He's not bashful about it. He's obsessed with Marilyn Manson. At one point, he was the only one that Lil Uzi Vert followed on the Instagram. He had a song called Make a City Girl Believe in Satan. He had a concert where he told fans that they're all going to hell. What else? He was dating City Girls. That's another rap group. He was dating JT from City Girls. And note that Diddy at the same time was dating the other half of the City Girls, Young Miami. All right. And there's lots of rumors that Lil Uzi Vert and lots of rumors that Diddy are also, they're both homosexual. All right. Now, does that mean these two hooked up? I don't know. I'd be curious. But Lil Uzi Vert, he's really into transhumanism as well, like Neuralink. He had this whole weird, I mean, I call it promotional sponsorship. Him and Grimes were tweeting back and forth about how great Neuralink is. And I was like, oh boy, how much did Elon Musk pay for this? He put that diamond in his head, remember? He had his hair into horns for a while, so on. And there's conspiracies, because if you listen to my episode where we talked about the occult symbolism of the murder of Takeoff, the rapper from the Migos that died a couple years ago, Lil Uzi Vert rose to fame on the Migos track Bad and Bougie because he actually replaced Takeoff. So, is there some foul play there? I don't know. Seems odd. And Lil Uzi Vert, he's got all the alter egos like Leslie Chow, which is based off the Asian dude from The Hangover, which is weird, right? That dude had like a baby dick, right? Weird choice. And he's got he's one of the they, them pronouns. I'm not even going to attempt to try to, I don't care about the pronouns. Like, if you want me to call you whatever, I don't care. Sounds good. I respect it. But when you go to they, them, that makes it challenging. And now I don't know how to talk to you. So I'm just going to keep saying he. Officially, he's a they, them. It just doesn't work. It's hard to do. It's weird. Like, just, okay, we all have to conform a little bit to society. Just roll with it, okay? anyway, we got to keep it moving. He starts out on a platform, sort of elevated, like he's up in the skies, and there's these falling stars in the background, right? The falling stars are what? Symbolic of Lucifer, who fell from the heavens. And he's doing his thing, and you know, he's wearing so much clothes. These guys are wearing so much on the stage performing. I think I would be, all I can think about is how much sweat I would be sweating wearing all this crap and moving around like this. I mean, he's got like a ski mask and a hoodie with the hood on and massive MC Hammer pants, because that's cool again now. It's a trip. Anyways, he's doing his thing. The flames kick up, and I'm like, there's the flames again. We're back in hell. And then you hear it, I just want to rock. Starts up, traumatizing me. I got PTSD from I Just Want to Rock. If you were with me, what was it, 3 years ago, I talked to you guys about when I went to Phoenix. We were at the strip club at 3 a.m. and it was real shady business. A place called Centerfolds. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's quite the experience. And I was sitting there, I was looking around at my guys, because we went to a couple strip clubs that were awesome. And I'm looking around like, bro, we need to get the hell out of here. We're going to get shot. And that song kicked up, and I was like, nope, I got to go. We're out of here. It was a trip. Anyway, I say all that to get to this. During that performance, which also the album cover for the single of I Just Want to Rock shows people being ascended, I argue, into hell. They're being sort of abducted, I don't know, by UFOs or something. Because he had this whole Eternal Attack, whatever you call it, album that I don't think it ever came out. I'm not a huge Lil Uzi Vert fan. I don't get it, to be honest. Some of his stuff's all right, but I don't know. Anyways, during the performance, there's a part of the song where he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or something like that. And when he says 5, he throws up the 666 hand on the stage. I thought, that's strange. Now, I'm going to put all these images on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Links are always in the show notes. Check it out for yourself. I don't know. It seems weird, right? But he curls his fingers like it's like heavy on the six. It looked like the sixes on the omen that's tattooed on the back of Damien's dumb head. All right, almost done. These last two are big ones, Lauryn Hill and Will Smith. So let's keep it moving. Lauryn Hill, she did a performance with her son. What's his name? YG Marley, I guess. And the song was called Praise Ja in the Moonlight. All right. Now, Ja is, I guess Lauryn Hill's Rastafarian. I don't know. Right. But Ja is the name of God in Rastafarianism, the religion in Jamaica. Right. And look, I've been to Jamaica. It's a beautiful place. I loved it. I mean, some areas were kind of rough around the edges. But overall, I loved the culture, loved the food. The beaches were amazing. It was awesome. I loved Jamaica. And they're chill. People are real chill. So I don't know. I don't know enough about Rastafarianism, but from what I do know, I think I saw this on Drunk History maybe, but the guy, it's based upon this guy who was the emperor of Ethiopia, which I read he was Ethiopian Orthodox. The Ethiopian Orthodox are an interesting set of orthodoxy. They believe they have the Ark of the Covenant. Anyways, they think that this guy, who was Ethiopian Orthodox, was God. That he was Jah, which comes from Jehovah, right? Because they kind of believe in Christ and kind of believe in the Bible. I don't understand it. Don't at me here. Even though the guy said, "Look, I'm not God," they're like, "Nah, you're God." He's like, okay, I guess, I don't know. And from what I understand, their whole perspective on Western Christianity and capitalism is that this is all hell, this is Babylon. Which is ironic because then you've got these people capitalizing upon it with their art. That's not a judgment, I just find it humorous, right? Like, okay, all this capitalism's terrible, but you're just fine performing on the stage on this sponsored capitalistic event, right? But it's fine, right? They're artists. I don't know. What do I want them to do? Not perform on stage? And since I'm no theologian, I'm going to read you a summary from Wikipedia. Jesus is an important figure in Rastafari. However, practitioners reject the traditional Christian view of Jesus, particularly the depiction of him as a white European, believing that this is a perversion of the truth. They believe that Jesus was a black African and that the white Jesus was a false god. Many Rastas regard, they better not go to a Costco in Utah. They've always got the Surfer Creed Jesus paintings out on display. I'm like, look, I don't know what skin tone Christ was, but he's from the Middle East there. And this guy, he looks a little too Caucasian. Anyway, many Rastas regard Christianity as the creation of the white man. They treat it with suspicion out of the view that the oppressors, white Europeans, and the oppressed, black Africans, cannot share the same God. Many Rastas take the view that the God worshipped by most white Christians is actually the devil. It's very Gnostic, right? And look, I get it. You know, like these people were made slaves. How dare these, you know, white people come over and profess all this Christianity and then they're enslaving people? Like, that's insane. So, like, I kind of get where this comes from. But they, to say that, you know, our God is the devil, the white Christian is the God, is the devil, is a Gnostic idea. I mean, it's just what it is. And a recurring claim among Rastas is that the Pope is Satan or the Antichrist. Yeah, they might be right on that one. Rastas therefore often view Christian preachers as deceivers and regard Christianity as being guilty of furthering the oppression of the African diaspora, frequently referring to it as having perpetrated mental enslavement. Which is kind of like the lyrics of what they sing about. And then it also talks about how it's a very patriarchal religion, views women as inferior to men. Women have to, like, you know, cover their heads when they're praying. Which, again, look, this might be misinterpreted online. In Orthodoxy, in Russian Orthodoxy, the women wear a scarf, but it's more viewed upon like a privilege. It's not a shameful thing, like, oh, cover your head. It's more of a, like, men, you're not allowed to wear them kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I try to put it in perspective. It's like in the military, right? Some guys or girls, some women, men and women, they can go through special training, special forces training, and they can now wear a beret instead of the regular cap. What an honor that is. I would have loved to wear a beret. You know, it's like a privilege kind of thing. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. So like the men in Rastafarianism, they can have multiple women and sleep with as many women as they want, but the women are confined to sleep with one man. You know, they got to, like that Chris Rock said, they got to recycle the pickle, you know. They also prohibit oral and anal. I don't know about this religion. Joking. Come on, everybody. Chill out. Bob Marley was the most famous, though. He had a song called Talking Blues, and I'm going to read you some lines from it. But I'm going to stare in the sun, let the rays shine in my eyes. I'm going to take a just one step more because I feel like bombing a church now. Now that you know that the preacher is lying. And in fact, I had to look that up because I heard that on, it's too Christian for me. Good Faith, Good Fight Ministries. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think it's Good Fight. I think that's where I saw it on one of their documentaries. They're good documentaries. I mean, like I said, though, they're a little too Christian for me. And then from Bob Marley, we get Rohan Marley. He is the son of Bob Marley, and Rohan was married to Lauryn Hill from 96 to 2009. They had some kids, one of which was YG Marley, who is performing with Lauryn Hill. Okay. And they had a bunch of, all their kids are very famous, very successful. The daughter's a model. One of their sons has played in the NFL and so on. Anyway, Lauryn Hill's performing with her son, YG Marley. And it starts out, there's a portal opening in the sky between these two Egyptian obelisks. I mean, that's pretty illuminated firm, right? They're showing us the summoning, the channeling of Hermes or Thoth, which is where alchemy comes from ancient Egypt. And we'll explain more about the alchemy presence at BET on the Will Smith deal. There was, of course, a bunch of Egyptian artifacts, you know, and the moon, and talk about the Black Panthers. All this is very on brand, nothing crazy. Oh, and they zoomed through the crowd, and they had this dude. I hate his videos on TikTok. He's the guy who, he's looking at himself in the mirror on the phone, and he's like, come here, and he zooms it in. Like, he's like, I don't like it. Like, me, like, I'm more of an alpha. I'm like, bro, you're not gonna tell me to come in close so you can kick knowledge. Like, I hate it. I mean, he's just a content creator, whatever. But that's my opinion. And if I see his thing, I swipe as fast as humanly possible. I can't take it. I don't like it. But anyways, he was in the crowd. I was like, this guy. So, you know, some of these people, I don't want to start any problems. But some people that I see blowing up on the TikTok and the Instagram out of seemingly nowhere in just a year, two, maybe three, they're all over the place, hanging out with famous people and, I don't know, presidential candidates and all kinds of stuff. And I think that's interesting how you got there that quick. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I sure as heck never got this close to fame with these people. I don't know, it just makes you wonder, right? I'm starting to believe I'm more of a dead internet theory guy now, I think. I think I don't trust nobody out there anymore. I really don't. Anyway, maybe that's better for the Who is Isaac Weishaupt episode, but I'm seeing a lot of things I don't like, especially in the truther community. It's things that I want to distance myself from sometimes. I think I don't trust all these people. They seem to be a little too successful, a little too quick. Or maybe I'm just a Division Level 1 hater. I mean, there's that too. I am a hater, so. I'm just saying, to get to a certain level, it takes a long time. You got to be around for a long time. And some people, just for whatever reason, I mean, I hate to say they sell their soul, but for some reason, they just move up with the quickness. It's just strange to me. It makes me think they're put there, is what I'm saying. Now, which takes me back to this guy. It's like, okay, he's famous on TikTok. Maybe that's enough to get you at the BET Awards. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, she does this song. There's another song she does. I think she does a couple songs with YG Marley on here. One's called Survival. And she's like freestyling about the assassination of black leaders. And she's doing what again with the 666 hand. And with this one, I think it's more because she's borderline fringy conspiracy theorist, too. And maybe she's saying, like, look, this is the Illuminati killing off, you know, Black Panthers and stuff like FBI, COINTELPRO and all that stuff. Also, if you listen, she talks about Christ consciousness. She mentions it. And this is kind of a cult, right? It's a Christ-based, New Agey kind of idea of finding one's higher self and making unity with the divine. It's very occult. They compare it to the Hindu Samadhi. It's like connection with the consciousness of God. And like I said before, like, I'm not opposed to any of that. Like, maybe. In fact, my man over at Skeptico, Alex, I got to write him back. If you're listening, Alex, I saw your email months ago. I'm swamped. But I remember him trying to talk to me about Christ consciousness. And it's one of those things that I've never dug into. But from what I understand, it's occult-ish, occult light. It's about finding the awareness of God within oneself and getting on the path towards God. And look, I don't care, man. If their life is better, they're able to kick addiction, they're able to be a better person, like, who am I to judge and say, no, that's not the right path? Everyone's got their own path. I've read it's New Age, though, is what I'm saying. I've read it. It could fuel up the ego, which is what you see in a lot of these, you know, Hindu, Buddhist-y kind of things where it's like, oh, wow, you're so enlightened, man. It's a false apotheosis. Now, the odd thing about Lauryn Hill, to wrap it up on her, the conspiracy theorists actually have a lot in common with this performance, I think, because a lot of the ideas of Rastafarianism and a lot of the ideas she's talking about of, you know, assassinating black leaders and keeping people down, it's about questioning authority, which is what got me into conspiracy. It's pushing back against the elites, against the powers that be, the surveillance programs, the disinformation to try to keep people suppressed and divided. So in a way, this should have a lot in common, but the conspiracy world is very fractured and, you know, it's a different world than it was just a few years ago. And if you want more, in 2023, we did a bonus show on my supporter feeds about the Fugees, and we dove deep into Lauryn Hill's conspiracy stuff with, like, how in 2003 she was calling out the Vatican for messing around with the kids. That was a long time before it was common talk, right? But she wasn't the first either. Sinead O'Connor was doing that. Finally, Will Smith. Will Smith, this is kind of the big one. He has this new track called You Can Make It. And he was in a ring of fire. There was a red sky and a black sun. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is very Saturnian, right? That's all Saturn and alchemy and the Negredo. The Negredo is the first step of alchemy and the dissolution of the human body. But he's singing a gospel song, but it looks like he's in hell, which is kind of interesting, right? But the idea, I guess, of the song is about the struggle, and Will Smith is trying to sort of like find him, his true self again and find God again, is what it sounds like, but that's not what we're talking about here. I think what we're looking at is Will Smith's alchemical journey of rebuilding, rebirthing himself. Because if you listen to the lyrics, he makes mention of the dark night of the soul. And this is an alchemical concept of confronting the shadow. I'm going to read to you from The Complete Idiot's Guide to Alchemy. Jungian psychologists use these same Latin terms to refer to the stages of psychological transformation. The Negredo refers to the depression accompanying the dark night of the soul that underscores the need for deep change on the personal level. The albedo represents the spiritual purification that results from the suffering of the Negredo, and the rubedo is the sense of empowerment and confidence that results from psychological integration in the final phase of personal transformation. Because in the alchemical process, you go through these stages of black, white, yellow, and red, red being the reborn phoenix. And you kind of see those colors in the performance. It's mostly focused on the black sun and the Negredo, the first step. They even show him the stage like burning down, you know, and that's what it's all about. It's about, what do you call it? Like dissolution and purifying down to the prima materia is what they believe in alchemy. And all this stuff, like the Dark Night of the Soul, comes from a Catholic mystic priest named St. John of the Cross. And he references as the unknown journey one takes to make union with God after death. But today, it's often referenced to represent a challenge to faith. But ultimately, it's about alchemy, all right? Which is takes us back to ancient Egypt, Hermes, and their Hermetic wisdom, all right? That's what a lot of the Egyptian symbolism was found with Lauryn Hill. Takes us back to the same sort of concept. So yes, when we see the black sun, this is literally the black sun. He says it in the lyrics when he talks about the dark night of the soul. It's an alchemical process. But the song is, you know, supposedly about his struggles. And like I said, it feels very gospel. Kirk Franklin even comes out, you know, a very famous gospel singer. And he got in trouble too recently, didn't he? Wasn't he splashed on the news because he was a little chummy with Diddy and T.D. Jakes, another one of these supposed Christian figures? And I don't know. We'll see where that goes. But the song sounds and feels Christian enough, except that Will Smith, that's not really his thing. No, it's not. And there's one line he says, there is wisdom in that fire. Well, isn't that interesting? Wisdom. It's the Gnostic Sophia. Now, to be fair, in Orthodoxy, in the liturgy, they say Sophia, and it's the wisdom that comes from the Bible. But in Gnosticism, Sophia is a goddess of wisdom, and it's the wisdom of the concept that God is the devil, basically. But yeah, I mean, in conclusion, Will Smith, illuminate, confirm, to always, right? This is his first appearance since the slap of 2022, basically. You know, you remember that? We did a big show on it. I think it was one of my top listened to shows ever. Chris Rock come out, made fun of Will Smith's wife's short hair. Will went up on stage, slapped him on live TV at the Oscars. I remember I was upstairs and I was recording it and I was watching it live. Well, actually, no, I lie. I was watching it. I was like maybe 30 minutes late to it. So I had a plan, commercial break. I go upstairs and I'm on my phone and I'm on Twitter and I see this whole thing about what just happened. I said, what? I ran downstairs and fast forwarded, and sure enough, the slap heard around the world. And we did many shows on this. Please refer to my back catalog. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, I've got an index of all the shows I've ever done. You can just do a control F search and find Will Smith on there a bunch of times. You know, because virtually the same thing played out at the 2000 VMAs, if you recall that. We did talked about that. And before the Oscars, before the slap, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, they posted, you know, I called it chaos magic references on Instagram, said bringing the chaos tonight. How did they know? Was this performance? I don't know. He was on Tavis Smiley's interview show forever ago, talk about manifesting reality through alchemy, because he's really into the book The Alchemist, written by Paulo Coelho, who was into Crowley and all this sort of occult thinking. And of course, none of these things align with Christianity.
She's not a Christian!
She could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering in dark-sided stuff!
Again, like, I'm fine with that. I don't care. What do I care? I don't want to ban these people. I don't want to condemn them. I don't want to cancel them. I really don't care. I just find it interesting that it's sort of hidden in plain sight that they don't come out and say it, right? And you remember after the fallout of the slap, August Alsina, who was Jada Pinkett's mistress guy, was allegedly doing sex energy casting for his with semen retention for his album called Shake the World that he released around the same time. And it just goes on and on, right? And Will Smith has his own allegations of being gay, too. Not that there's a problem with that. Orlando Anderson a few years ago alleged that he was abused by Will Smith and Michael Jackson orchestrated the whole thing. I don't know. Like I said, allegedly on all this. I wasn't there for any of this. I don't know. And Will Smith got his role on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, his breakout role from Quincy Jones. He was the producer for Michael Jackson, you know, Thriller and all that stuff. And Quincy Jones and Tupac did not get along, which ties us into Diddy. If you listen to my 3-hour deep dive on Diddy, it's insane. There is so much going on in the hip hop industry right now. I think Diddy's going to end up, you know, going the route of Epstein. But Will Smith said that Quincy Jones was an alchemist as well. I mean, these guys are all into these occult concepts. And then, of course, to add on to the theory of the ritual element, the humiliation ritual of Chris Rock, his stand-up comedy tour, which he was plugging, was called Ego Death. So there's the ego thing again. So all this stuff, you know, in conclusion, BET Awards, Illuminate confirm. As always, Illuminate confirm. I got to cut this short. Okay, I'm looking at the time and I got to go. I appreciate you guys listening to the show. If you like the show, you know what to do. You can leave a 5-star review to block the 1-star haters, because there's lots of 1-star haters out there. And you can sign up at any of my 3 supporter feeds and go ad-free, unlock hundreds of bonus episodes over the years, and you'll always be informed about what's going on in this world. I try to be a non-biased voice, right? I try not to condemn anybody. I'm real, real lukewarm Christian over here. But anyway, like I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I'm just here to talk about the ideas and point out what I see. So if you like that, if you appreciate that, support me in whatever way you find works for you. I appreciate you listening, though. Thank you for your time. Till next time, stay positive.